This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, welcome to CarmCast episode 93. It's Carm Capriotto, and we're going to talk about day-end processes. Now, this is another Why and How CarmCast, and we repurposed this from our live broadcast. Hey, do you have a set of tasks that need to be performed at the end of business every day? Does this discipline help your team keep focused on customer service and securing your money in the facility for closing time? My panel provides you a few of their day-end disciplines that, as you'll hear, provide the business and the customer with strong day-end measures. Head to the CarmCast page on my website, remarkableresults.biz, to listen or watch all the archived CarmCast episodes, or all of the venues for that matter. This episode is supported and brought to you by Broadly, your answer to getting more online reviews. It is another CarmCast. About every other Wednesday, you'll find us doing this because I'm kind of in this mode lately of finding out how and why things need to be done in businesses. And I've got two really great friends on the show here as we talk about day-end processes. So good to have you here. Bill Nalu from Interstate Auto Care, Madison Heights, Michigan. Hello.
Good morning slash afternoon.
Yeah, it is. And Joe Hansen, Gordy's Garage, Roseville, Michigan.
How you doing?
We're great. How far away are you guys from each other?
About 6 miles, 7 miles?
Yeah, right about there.
Joe can run back and forth.
I do.
I got to drive.
Oh, Joe lives that close?
Well, he's Mr.
He's making fun of me. Yeah.
I see. He's making.
He hasn't even started and he's already poking.
Wow.
It's
Bill.
A compliment, but a sideways compliment.
Come on, Bill. Give him a break. Hey, you know, we got a great sponsor for this CarmCast, and it is Broadly. Now, are you seeing auto shops in your area get hundreds of five-star Google reviews, and are you feeling left behind because your shop only has a few? Well, hey, look, Broadly is your answer to getting more online reviews. With more reviews, you know, your business will rank higher in search results, and that means more customers coming into your shop every day. Now, Broadly helps you automatically request reviews so that your customers can promote your business with just one click. Now, when you immediately ask for a review after service, you know, when the experience is still fresh in your customer's mind, you're more likely to get a five-star positive review. Plus, asking for feedback makes your customers feel valued and more connected to your business. Now, isn't that what you really want? A connected and loyal customer. See how Broadly can help you grow your auto shop on the web at getbroadly.com/carm. Hey, Friday live, Town Hall Academy. I think it's our 230th week. Second in command, a CEO's perspective. These are the guys who have a solid number two in play. And that's going to be a great show, guys, a really great show. Hey, you ready? Let's talk about day-end processes. Why are they important? I want to talk about that. I'm sure you're going to cover that. Who is responsible? And in your perspective, what gets done? Okay, Joe, I'm going to have you start. You brought us some slides to go over. So let's teach the industry from your perspective what your day-end routine is like.
Sure. Be glad to give our perspective. So the end of day routine for us, as you can see there, it's got to be done the same way daily, obviously, because we're going to create a routine is something that is a routine, right? You want it to be the same way every single day, and it needs to be predictable so that there's no change in flow. So you asked in the opening who's responsible for the end of day routine, and that would be the service manager, right? He would be the one that leads that off and or gets that going and making sure that it's done every day. And we actually go to the next slide because this one's pretty basic, but yeah. And so what that entails at our shop is we have each day a production planning slash wrap up meeting, and the service manager does that. And what they go over in that meeting is just a recap of the day, right? On the production side, a recap of the day. It's a quick 5-10 minute meeting. We go over the hour. They go over the hours completed that day. So they'll say, hey guys, you know, as a team collectively, we completed 45 hours today, or 50, or whatever that number is, right? And they know their benchmark, so that kind of gives them a feeling for, okay, are we on track or off track? the technicians will give feedback, as you can see there, for the parts that are needed for the next day. Because, you know, sometimes you go through the day, advisors, they get really busy and things going on, and they go, they might have forgot to order a part, or they might think that a part is there and it's not, and it can get chaotic. So it's a nice recap at the end of the day, and the tech goes, hey, you know, I never got the rack and pinion for the vehicle I'm halfway done with. And, oh, okay, let me check on that. So advisors will make sure that the parts are there, because the goal the next day, obviously, is when the tech comes in for them to immediately be able to start work, production. That's why it's a production meeting. They want to be producing right away. They don't want to stand around in the morning. And you know how that can be, right? You get in and, hey, where's that rack and pinion? Forgot to order it. Or, they called and said it would be another 3 hours, and the technician's standing there waiting to work. So that's the reason for the feedback on that. And then also what's coming in, you know, set that expectation on a production level of what's, hey, Bill, I've got 25 hours billed for you tomorrow, sold for you tomorrow already. So when we get in, we got to knock that rack and pinion out and get onto those other ones. And this is what we expect to get done that next day. Because setting the stage the day before, I don't know what it is. It's kind of like for an owner, you know, we do our to-do list the night before, and we know what we're going to do when we go in the next day. That's production for us, right? And so for the technicians to be productive, they need to have that plan. And for the advisors to properly sell and schedule, they need to know that they've given the technicians that plan and gotten feedback on that plan to make sure it's even possible, right?
I have a question about that, the production planning meeting. Is it a guaranteed time every day? Is it like 4:30 or is...
It is the same time every day, yes.
So when is it?
4:50.
4:50, okay.
Right. So we have a whole some of the other end-of-day routines, you know, they stop working at 4:30, start bringing cars and cleaning up. 4:50, the meeting happens, and that at 5 o'clock, there's burnout marks in the parking lot. Everybody's gone. So
at 4:50, if you discover you needed a rack, that still is plenty of time to sign onto the computer and get it ordered from the supplier.
Yeah. I mean, it just takes a minute or two to check on that. Or if they forgot to order, to actually just hit the button. Yeah. I mean, let's be real. There's times where the advisors are here a few minutes after, maybe 5:05, 5:10, right? Because they got the end of day stuff to do, close out and stuff like that. But the goal is 5 o'clock. So, yeah. Okay. So end of day for the financial reconciliation. So once the, you know, at the end of the day, and this is a process that actually goes on throughout the day, like parts invoices reconcile as they're received, they get received in to Techmetrics. So we know that the parts arrived and that. So that's happening throughout the day. And then the obvious things, right? Like the cash in and cash out, make sure it's reconciled at the end of the day report, deposit gets made out. And then one that we used to not be real consistent with would be the parts return, right? We, for some reason, think that that should be like a when we get to it thing or when we have time. And it's really one of the most important things is to make sure that those parts are tagged correctly. And we have a process for that out there, and that they're tagged correctly, and that they're actually in proper order, so that when the vendors come in the next day, that they can pick those returns up and process them. We found that if we let that get out of hand, that can really be a nuisance. And it becomes one of those things where it's like laundry, you know, you let it build up and man, you just don't want to do laundry. And so if you do it daily on a routine basis, it's still not fun, but it gets done and it's done proper and in order.
Joe, cash is king. What percentage of your end of day is cash?
Very little. There's days now I don't even go to the bank because there's no cash. There's no checks. You know, it's very, very little. It's mostly credit. So
what about a bank drop bag? If you do have, say, $200-$400 worth of cash, is who's going and how long do you expect them to be at the bank?
We've done a couple different versions of this, and now what our process is that the in the front office where the service advisors are, they put the cash in that bag, right? And then that end of day report goes with it, and there's an envelope, and they fill it all out. And on the front of the envelope, it just reads deposit only. It's got the spot for them to write the date for the end of day business that was done, and then it's got a note to the bank that this is for deposit only. if there's an error, call a special number on it and that it'll get addressed. And then that bank bag, just my dad likes to do it. So he takes that bag right to the drop. We don't go in, we just put it in the night drop there, and it might be in the middle of the day, and that's it. And it works really, it works great. It's very simple.
Yeah. Bank drops are the only way to go because who has time to wait in a line? You add up all the minutes and all the seconds it takes you to go to the bank. That's smart. Yeah. Drive up, dump and go.
Drop and go.
Excellent. Any questions, Bill, at all for our friend Joe?
Nothing but compliments. This is why he's one of the best in our industry, and I'm proud to have him as my neighbor and a fellow shop owner that I can call on when I need advice.
Thanks, Bill. You sent us some really great stuff, both back of house and front of house routines. Yeah. Let's go over them.
So before I say that, I've got to say what Joe said in 10 minutes here is a course for not just being organized, but retaining your employees. He called it setting the stage. I call it setting the table. You know, before that wait person shows up to take care of the next customers, the runner has to set the table and lay down the new linens and all that stuff so that she or he can do their job at that point in time. Same exact thing with our very expensive, extremely valuable, much more rare technicians that are back there. So to me, it's a matter of survival. If you don't have an organized process, it's frustrating. Doesn't matter whether you're going to offer $5,000 signing bonuses. They're not going to be staying there if it's not organized. So with that said, I agree with everything that Joe said. The one thing that I would add that we sort of do differently is we don't necessarily have specific start times and end times. We think the technician gets there at 8 o'clock. If they get there at 8:15, it's not a problem because they may stay till 6:15 to finish up. Every one of my technicians, five out of our six staff members have keys and alarms to the building. If they want to come in and work till 9 o'clock, they can do that. So for us, it's a little bit more difficult to line everybody up on the same way because I want them to understand, as they do over the years, that we work together. You don't work for me. I don't own you, and you sure as heck don't own me. We work together, and by virtue of that, I trust you to help me create a process so that we can all agree to it. And so with some of the things that I find is different is I want to hold everybody's responsible for closing things. And what are some of these closing things? Things like a vehicle was left outside with the windows down and it's raining, and the next morning we've got water in the vehicle. Keys left in vehicles. Vehicles that customers are supposed to pick up that keys aren't in the lockbox waiting for the customer to pick up, and I get a call or an email at 8 o'clock in the evening. We prevent that from happening by holding everybody responsible for every single thing in the shop. Water left running in the back room, compressors left on, air pressure left on overnight, and we've got 20 gallons of oil on the ground. Knock on wood, it's never happened to us, but I've heard enough of these stories to where it forced me to be able to say to the guys is you're also an owner in the shop. When you leave here, do what I would be doing. Check that back door that we left open so that, you know, customer opens the door and the alarm goes off at this point in time, right? It's things like that. Keys that are, if we have running vehicles in the shop, those keys are left in. And I think you'll probably go to the next slide, Carm. We have key boxes. Obviously, we have our six door locker box that are outside for pickup and of customer vehicles. But we also have a lockbox safe at the front of the house and one in the back of the house, because any keys that are just laying around are just ripe for somebody breaking into the building to grabbing those keys. And there goes a $50,000 vehicle that was perfectly preventable if we just lock these keys up. Obviously, if the vehicle is down and the hood's up, they're not going anywhere with the vehicle anyways.
Let me stop you for a minute, Bill. How many, asking both of you this question, how many shop owners are locking vehicle customer keys up?
If I had to put a percentage on it, I'd probably say less than 10%. And I think a lot of times people say, it's like with the credit card business. People say, well, I've never had a problem with a chargeback. You have to wait till it happens to you before you'll actually realize, why don't I learn from somebody else's mistakes first?
Yeah, we have a picture to show you of that safe later in the show. But good, thanks.
And again, it's not something, I can't even take credit for it. It's these fine men that I work with that that when I present them with a problem, they come back with, well, we can do it this way here, right? You overcomplicate things, Bill. Why don't we do it this way? Okay, fine. Take it over. And I think that's the true mark of leadership, a true mark of somebody. In my case, I'm not a process guy. I'm not Joe Hansen. But what I do is take those process, the guys that do the process as well, and say, this is sort of how it will work for me. This is how we can implement it. And with the direction and sign off on the people that I expect to keep here year in and year out.
Got it. Okay, here's your front of house slide.
One of the things that I like to do is the front of the house, make sure that the back of the house is covered and the back of the house comes through. And this isn't a major thing. This is a 5-minute thing, right? We do just a walkthrough. So our closing manager will go through the shop and just make sure the propane, the acetylene tanks, right? We make sure those valves are closed. How many times have we walked in and the valves are open, right? There's $50 to $100 in gases that may leak out. Worse yet, if those things are leaking and somebody turns on the electricity in the building, you could have yourself a major fire. That hoist that isn't locked down, right? The vehicle that's just basically sitting there, and maybe there's a jack stand underneath the oil pan, and the vehicle drops 6 inches because there's no air pressure in there. And then now the vehicle's off the hoist, right? Again, knock on wood, it's never happened to us, but we've all seen those pictures, and we look at these things and say, wow, you know, and we sort of laugh. But somebody had a really, really bad Monday that following day when they saw that. And we can learn from that.
This is preventative medicine.
Yeah, and it's unnecessary if we have processes in place. You know, I love Joe's idea about having a bank. One of the things that we intend to change is I've got a bank that's within driving distance. And what I'm going to do is open up a cash account for deposits. We have a bank next door to us. And so I intend to follow Joe's advice from a couple of weeks ago when we had, I think that's a great idea. Every day there's a drop, so that if you are a shop owner who plans to be working remotely and you have a shop management system and an accounting system that is cloud-based, that you can do those things. And you'll see that the money's in the account, whatever's in the shop management system better line up. And it doesn't take a genius in order to do that.
Something that I really like about what Bill has done here is, you know, you've heard the old story, management by walking around, right? And it's almost like this is, you know, check the HVAC, check the acetylene tank. You're literally have a walk routine, and you're testing and checking and verifying these critical components. Yeah. on your walkthrough every night.
One of my pet peeves, Carm, is to have very expensive equipment within 10 to 15 feet of our bay doors. We have glass bay doors. And so anybody walking by, wow, look at that. There's a $15,000, $16,000 scanner sitting within 10 feet. Why make it easy? You know, why make it so easy, right? You take the $150 you have in your cash drawer, you lock that up in the key safe. Not that you can't, you know, forego $150. But the bigger issue is that if you have a process where you lock up valuables, we have a shop tool box that has all of our diagnostic equipment. It gets locked every night. All the toolboxes get locked up. Why? Because again, it prevents somebody who may know that, you know, in and out in 2 minutes as $10,000, $15,000 of equipment that disappears. It's just why create a temptation? We have people walking in and out of our facilities all the time, people that deliver parts, people. And again, you hate to live that way, but you've got to be prepared for a situation where it just makes it too easy for somebody to walk around and say, yeah, look at, you know, a $300 impact gun is sitting within 3 feet on a rolling cart in front of a bay door hoist. Somebody looks through that may intend to sell that tool for $20 down the road, isn't going to bust your windows and cause your alarm to go on at 3 o'clock in the morning. Why create that problem when you don't need one? Yeah. So there's our key lock boxes. These are on Amazon. I think they were $150 to $200, and you just bolt them into the wall and it's minimum security. You could probably pry it open with a pry bar, but again, it's creating just a little bit more. It's like wheel lock keys on a wheel. They can eventually get them off given enough time, but what you want is a little bit of deterrence there, so that it's not as easy as just jumping in the vehicle and driving away.
So you'd put the money in the what? The black safe there?
Yeah, the silver one there. This is our front of the house safe, and so we just drop the, you know, we just take the $150 and just stuff it in there, and then close the door on that. And it's just and the other part of that is it forces the closing person because that money has to go in the safe, the more important factor is that they may pull the money out not realizing, oh, you know what? I had $150 that I collected. I didn't think I had anybody that paid in cash, but it forces them to close it because there's been plenty of times I've walked in the morning and the cash is in the drawer and nobody ever bothered to print the end of the day report.
Got it. So what's the difference between the black safe and the gray one?
The black one is in the garage. That's the one where we lock all of our keys from the running vehicles, the customer vehicles in the garage, the ones that are being worked on. Yeah. Whereas the one in the front of the house, the silver one, that's the one with all the completed repairs, vehicles that are ready to be picked up.
And that's a great process. I mean, why not just have one safe?
Because what happens is if that's the case, then the service writer is going into the garage to go pick up those keys. And I would rather have vehicles that are done out in the parking lot have those in the front. Because that way we minimize the amount of traffic. Sometimes you got wet floors and dirt being brought
up. You're minimizing steps. I get it.
Yeah.
Yep. This was great. I think there was a lot of learning here. Joe, any comments, ideas to share?
I think just an overall approach to, you know, why we do the end of day and is just to be mentally prepared for the next day. And a lot of it obviously is to close out the current day, but I think that the that's just like closing out the current day, that's a mechanical thing, right? Like you have to do that. But I think we shouldn't downplay the fact that putting that end of day in process is actually a preparation for the next day. And it just makes it so much easier to be prepared for the next day. And I think that the production meeting at the end of the day, or whatever you want to call it, a same page meeting at the end of the day, I think that's really the, you know, from our experience at our shop is the biggest benefit to the end of day process, because it just mentally gets you ready for tomorrow. And that's so important. So important.
I love that whole end of day team meeting. Is there some anticipation to see the numbers as to how I did at all?
I would hope so. I think the guys do, you know, because who wants to show up to that meeting with, you know, I did a half hour today. I mean, don't want to be the weakest link, right? You want to be part of the team. And you know, that obviously plays into the way we do our pay plan, all that other stuff as well, you know, so that, yeah, so it there is an anticipation. I would like to believe, and I hope it actually holds them a little bit accountable, right? Because you want to show up as being a team player.
Joe, the other part of that that's really important is the one that shows up with that half hour. They may feel at that point in time, they may be in a rut and they feel like they just can't get out of it. Mm-hmm. What better time than to say to somebody, this isn't you. This isn't, obviously you're better than this. You know this. What's the problem here? Let's have a conversation.
Yeah. And what's great about that, and just to keep it short, is the way, you know, the way we do our compensation plan here is that they work together as a team to get paid. So it does give that, like you say, Bill, that ability for the team to go, hey, you know, Ron is struggling today. Hey, is there anything we can do to help you get through that? Well, I just can't figure this one. Let me take a quick peek. Boom. And then, you know, think, and right there, that production meeting, if that tech is, it solves a problem at the end of the day that he's been struggling with because another tech helped him out. I mean, what's better than that, right? And that would have never happened years ago because we never did these meetings. So it was just the tech was kind of on his own island, right? Trying to figure that out. So it kind of opens up a little communication for the, whether it gets solved that night or not, at least that next day, that tech that's struggling might go, at least I'm going to have some help in the morning. They're going to walk me through this. We're going to, as a team, take an hour and knock this out and then move on from there.
Question, how much of your morning prep can you pack into your end of previous day?
All of it.
Yeah.
Good question, Matt. Thank you very much. Thanks for the answer, Joe. Of course, Bill agrees with that. Hey, this was great. I really think we got into, you know, why you guys are doing it. Obviously, it's like just good business. It's important business. But when everyone has a chance, do you talk about ARO or any volume of the day, any KPIs that you could kick off the computer?
We don't get into that. We try to focus on production in that meeting. Production. So that's sales and the advisors, they should know that. And it's all that data is available to everybody in the shop anyway. So they should know that.
So who's responsible and what gets done? This was great, guys. I think this is a cool little short lesson that anyone can sign on and listen and or watch. We'll publish this as a podcast, I think, by next Monday, so everybody can actually hear this. But can go to the YouTube channel or on the on the remarkableresults.biz website on the Karmcast page. Hey, Bill Nalu, Interstate, and Joe Hansen from Gordy's. Guys, thanks so much for being here. I sure appreciate it. Great lesson.
Appreciate you doing these shows, Carl.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.